Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Looks like the CC has returned, but I brought my own anyway. So today we are reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 23, two verses, verse 108, Hare Krishna, and 109. And I think we'll probably chant them both. These are both Bhagavad Gita verses, and they are from the Priya Stotra of Bhagavad Gita. I made that up myself, but these verses, five or six verses, where Krishna says again and again, Same Priya, that these types, these persons are very dear to me. So they're quite extraordinary verses, and we'll study two of them today. So the first, and pardon my Sanskrit pronunciation, I am a Kali Yuga reprobate and have no skill at chanting. Yasmanodvidate loko lokanodvidate tuya harsha marsha bhayodvegair muktoyasa chame priya yasmanodvidate loko lokanodvidate tuya harsha marsha bhayodvegair muktoyasa chame priya yasmanodvidate loko lokanodvidate tuya harsha marsha bhayodvegair muktoyasa chame priya. Please chant. Yasmanodvidate loko harsha marsha bhayodvegair muktoyasa chame priya yasmanodvijate loko lokanodvijate tuya harsha marsha bhayodvegair muktoyasa chame priya yasmanodvijate loko lokanodvijate tuya harsha marsha bhayodvegair muktoyasa chame priya. Okay, we will do the word for word. Yasmat, from whom? Na, not. Udvijate, is agitated by fear or lamentation. Lokaha, the people in general. Lokat, from the people. Na, not. Udvijate, is agitated. Two, but, ya, who, harsha, jubilation, amarsha, anger, bhaya, fear, udvegai, and from anxiety. Mukta, liberated, ya, anyone who, sa, he, cha, also, me priya, my very dear devotee. Translation. He for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anxiety, who is liberated from jubilation, anger, fear, and anxiety, is very dear to me. There is no purport, so we'll read 109. Anapeksha shuchir daksha udashino gata vyata sarvaramba parityagi yo me bhakta same priya. Again, note, same priya is at the end. A devotee who is not dependent on others, but dependent solely on me, who is clean inwardly and outwardly, who is expert, indifferent to material things, without cares, free from all pains, and who rejects all pious and impious activities, is very dear to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word anapeksha means that one should not be concerned with mundane people and should not depend upon them. One should depend solely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be free from material desires. One should also be clean within and without. To be outwardly clean, one should regularly bathe with soap and oil. And to be inwardly clean, one should always be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. The word sarvaramba parityagi indicate that one should not be interested in the so-called smarta vidhi of pious and impious activities. Om Ganatam Nandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Nitamida Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namaste Giriraja Shri Govardhana Namane Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayane Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasara Nandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapavani Tulsi Vanchakabhaturubhyascha Kripasundubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Hare Krishna. So this is a little excerpt. This is oftentimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a point is made, and then supporting verses are provided to support that point. So the last point that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making, it was kind of like almost a change of subject. But then he comes right back into some very important instruction. So he was telling Sanatana Goswami, you should go now. Here is my order. You should now go to Vrindavan. You should create a wonderful place of pilgrimage for the devotees. You should depend on Radha and Krishna in their service. Go to Vrindavan, do that, and write scriptures. We've just read a number of chapters of Lord Chaitanya instructing Sanatana Goswami. So he wanted Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and the Goswamis to take those instructions that they imbibe and give them out. Because he saw that as a very important way to continue his Krishna consciousness movement. And so, but then he immediately tells him, be renounced. You should be renounced. He taught him about proper renunciation according to a particular situation. So time, place, and circumstance. Be renounced in those situations that are correct. And don't do dry renunciation and speculative. So don't be attached to jnana, don't be attached to yoga, don't be attached to karma. Specifically, don't be attached to karma kanda, which is a lot of renunciation based on getting a material result. And so to support that, he provides eight verses from the Bhagavad Gita, from the 12th chapter, which Nagaraj Prabhu just quoted from this morning, but it's a little later. He quoted 9. So here Krishna was stating again, the middle 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita are the jewel, the gem of devotional service, or the bhaktas. This is where all bhakti is coming from. Previous 6 chapters focus generally. Again, Krishna weaves himself in and out throughout, of course, but generally on karma yoga, last 6 generally on jnana yoga. And so he's transitioning now. If you cannot fully dedicate your consciousness on me in service, in bhakti, then do this. And he gives, do some karma yoga. Okay, then if you can't do that, then do nishkam karma. Do karma yoga, but don't be attached to the result. Then he said, okay, if you can't do that, then focus on jnana. And then, but then he goes, but better than that would be to dhyan, to be meditative, to meditate on me. So it almost, he's kind of going from better to worse, and then he jumps back up again to better to help us. Because again, what is it? It's not dependent. We should do those things that are appropriate to time and place. So appropriate to each and every one of us may be slightly different. So Krishna gives these instructions in Bhagavad Gita, not just for solely the bhaktas, but for everyone, for all society, everyone. There is instruction in Bhagavad Gita for everyone. Do this. Work for me. Do your dharma. Do that. He's instructing and pressing, and first pressing that on Arjuna. You're a kshatriya. Do your dharma. You should do that. And then he's further and further. So this little section of the 12th chapter is quite amazing, how he's giving this full scope of how each and every individual in the universe, in creation, can engage or come, eventually come to me. But then he also says, just as he says, Lord Chaitanya is asking Sanatana Goswami to focus on renunciation, the same thing Krishna says here. Let me find the right one. Very dear, here it is. If you can't take to this practice, which is the jnana, if you cannot do that, then dhyanam, better than knowledge, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation. Now, it's very interesting why he begins with, or he ends with, this renunciation. Renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. So we hear often in Bhagavad Gita and different, that to be able to practice, to be able to focus on anything, but certainly to focus on Krishna, we have to be peaceful. There has to be some peace. And there's, of course, the peace formula has been given earlier in the Bhagavad Gita. But here, now these verses are connected with that renunciation. So I'm trying to continue this flow of teaching of both Bhagavad Gita, Krishna to Arjuna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So last Saturday we heard about, especially Advaishta, being non-envious, these activities, the different characteristics of a devotee. And so one thing that's interesting in this entire list that he'll give in 6 to 8 verses is that they can be seen very externally, you could say the chesta rupa, or the form of just, okay, I won't be envious, I won't interact with anyone, how's that, you know? Or I won't be around anyone, so therefore I won't cause any difficulty. And therefore, nobody will also bother me. I'll just go live in the forest. Of course, how many of us can actually do that? So that's the chaste, you know, we just take it face value and we just figure out, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. You don't want me to do it? You know, oftentimes, you know, in relationships, we say, oh, you don't want me to do that? I won't do anything anymore. And, you know, you storm out of the room. But that wasn't the solution. That wasn't the solution. The solution was, oh, what is it that is the root of this? And so that is called the bhava-rupa, or that which the essence of that instruction is trying to get at. So what is the essence of renunciation? Are these teachings of Krishna? And for these two verses, one who is not put into difficulty. So not being put into difficulty is a state of mind, really. And of course, in the morning Bhagavatam class, we are about to enter, because this is starting to get into Sankhya Yoga type, understanding things as they are, more or less, you could say. And so we are about to study the Kapila teachings of Sankhya Yoga in the morning classes. And we'll see Krishna or Kapila Muni, Dave, weaving in, you know, understanding the difference between matter and spirit, but then also inserting bhakti and devotional service throughout. So for one who is not, for he whom no one is put into difficulty. So that's a characteristic, you know, no one. There's absolutely no one who, of the loka, of the entire world, that we don't put anyone into difficulty. This is something to strive for. This is something to, okay, well, what does that mean? It means isolation, or does it mean we are very, it's a new term in organizational management. In the last 10 years or so, it's called emotional intelligence. And we go to class, you know, being part of the UF and all that, we have to take these classes, especially if you're a supervisor or a manager, because you have to be able to relate to the people you're working with. And if you don't have emotional intelligence, which is basically understanding each and every person as a different emotional set, you could say, or a characteristic, and you have to have the intelligence, well, how do I deal with that? And previous to that, it was like this hierarchy of, like, I am the boss, you do what I say, and that's it. And if you don't do it, you're fired. You know, but emotional intelligence kind of brings in a whole spectrum of how to actually interact. Some people actually need that type of instruction. And so you know, okay, this person needs, you know, sometimes we need a slap in the face. And sometimes we need the loving care, or, you know, what is this? We're going to talk about becoming dear in a little bit. But again, already I'm running out of time. So these characteristics we have to apply in each situation. So as we develop some emotional intelligence, knowing how to deal with others, then okay, how do I not put others into difficulty? What is it? You know, is it isolation, or is it interaction with persons in a congenial way, in a very nice way, and who is not disturbed by others? In the Bhagavad Gita translation, because Prabhupada translates these two verses slightly different, and he, in the purport to that one, he says, no one is put into difficulty, anxiety, fearfulness, or dissatisfaction by such a devotee. So our actions aren't putting others in, but then at the same time, the quality is that those who are in anxiety, those who are applying fear to your life, they're not also disturbing you. So how do we understand that? And we have so much instruction throughout the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita of how we take things as they come. Tate nukumbham. These are due to, you know. And again, we can recite these, but how do we actually apply them? And I think one thing that is helpful, at least helpful for me, is that, well, what is Krishna really trying to say in these verses? That you become dear to me. This person, or this type of person, will become dear to me. So I was very curious about this, and I looked up in the Sri Sri Google Amrita, of what it takes to be dear to somebody. And it came out with a fairly good list that we certainly can apply, that I certainly can apply to these words of Krishna. And then we can like kind of think, it can you can augment these instructions of don't put others in jeopardy, be free from jubilation, anger, fear, anxiety, don't depend on others, only depend on me, be clean, be indifferent, all these things. If we know what the purpose is to be dear to Krishna or becoming a dear one of Krishna, then there's like, oh, there's something there. It's not this, as he told Sanatan, don't do the dry renunciation. Don't just go to the forest and renounce it. You know, do it in a very wholesome way. So here are some from the Sri Google. Becoming dear to someone means earning a place of deep affection. So I think if we think about that, that yeah, everyone that we consider dear in our own life, there's a natural affection for them. You know, and oftentimes these things are mechanically done, like we write, of course, nobody writes letters anymore, but you used to write, dear so-and-so. You know, it was a practice or something to say, okay, this communication should be done in a very cordial and respectful way. Dear, my dear person. So deep affection, value. We value the relationship. It's not just ritual. It's not just, all right, well, here's, I have to do this, fear and anxiety. It's renunciation. Okay, what is that? It's a codicil. I better just fast. But, you know, it's like there's a lot more depth to it when you find the relationship aspect of you, what you're doing, and with Krishna, because then all of a sudden it becomes alive. There's value, you in value that Krishna has come. You know, there's so many wonderful verses throughout the Bhagavatam. Krishna doesn't have to come at all. He is self-satisfied, sarupya punya. He is in his spirit, he is fully enjoying. It is us who have left, but he is still. Just imagine coming to a place like this. For Krishna, of course, it's all his energy. But look what we've done to this energy. I took a little break with my wife last week, and we went to the beach. And you know, it's there are aspects when you go to a good beach, and it's very nice. But then you see this junk, you know, floating up. What have we done to this beautiful facility? So we value an importance in the value of their importance in our own life. So that's certainly something we can do a one-to-one with, that how important it is that we have Krishna in our life. You know, where were we? Where did we come from? What influences are constantly bombarding us from the outside? And now they've infiltrated to us into our very own pockets. There's always some bombardment coming, some tone, some notification, something to constantly divert us. But it even says it is a gradual process built on mutual trust, emotional intimacy, and consistent caring actions. This is our activities in devotional service. We hear Krishna will protect you. Krishna will, as he says, we shouldn't be depend solely on the Supreme Personality, God, and be free from. So you can't imbibe that in the moment you walk in the door, the first introduction. It takes some time to see, like throughout my life as I've been going on, as I've been serving Krishna in whatever capacity it is, and again, the list was there in the 12th chapter, whatever capacity, whatever, we see when Krishna does supply and gives us things that, you know, we have no business or even no capacity to fully say that I have done this. We recognize that this is all actually Krishna's doing. So that recognition becomes quite an important thing. And then it has a list of core pillars of becoming dear. Boy, I'm really running out of time. So to build a connection where you're truly cherished, focus on these essential areas. And again, these, I felt, are very transferable to our process of bhakti yoga. The first is emotional safety. Create an environment where you feel completely secure in sharing your flaws and fears without judgment. So in, you know, bhakti ras, not the nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami is giving the same prescription. You should have a loving exchange with devotees such that you can reveal your mind completely in confidence that this isn't going to be misused, it's not going to be posted on the internet, it's not going to be, it's going to be met with emotional intelligence or with a keen trying to understand you, and the reciprocation will be, here is my advice. Here is the advice of either Shiksha Guru or our comrades or whoever, whatever those loving exchanges amongst devotees we've established, that needs to be an aspect of it that we can confidently just lay it out. Active engagement. So it's not just we spout these things off and then we go, but we listen to understand, not just reply, remember the small details. So this kind of again brings me back to those two terms, Chaste Rupa and Bhava Rupa, that we can externally do our actions, we can externally count the numbers when we're offering it, or we can think, oh Krishna, this incense is called this, and it's made from this, and I hope this is pleasing to you. So there's it's a whole different activity than the 4, 7, 8, or whatever it is. Of course, that's also good because we're engaging our senses, but there's always something more. Consistent reliability. How reliable is Krishna in our lives? He's always there. And as we learn more and more, and as we practice, we start to become aware. This is bhakti parishanubhava. Parishanubhava is that we are aware of Krishna in everything. He is the source of everything, and he is in everything. This understanding, it becomes very fixed in a devotee as they progress. Constant reliability. Show up when you say you will. Fulfilling your promises. We take vows and we have our aspirations. Krishna, I want to be your... We say these things, but then we're acting as well. We're doing things to enhance that. And meaningful ways to deepen that bond. So again, this is still Sri Google. Quality time, dedicate uninterrupted, focused attention to share. So we have our activities. We have to do everything. We have a whole schedule of things we have to do every single day. Some of us are householders. And what does a householder mean? You got to go to work. It means you got to clean the vinyl on the side of your house every time it gets green. You got to mow the lawn. You got to do this. You got to have a nice environment to invite devotees over. And so it's a whole thing. But we also need to dedicate those times to have that quality time with Krishna, to be able to focus on what those things are. So all these things, and again, I'm going to stop reading this, but all these things are to what? Samepriya, to become dear to Krishna. So I'll ask, why would we want to be dear to Krishna? And we don't have to pass the mic yet. You just say it, I'll repeat it for those listening. Why do you want to be dear to Krishna? To have a relationship with him, yes. Okay, why do we want a relationship with Krishna? So we can get instructions, we get maintained, yes?
Because he loves us.
Huh? Because we want happiness. He's a source of happiness. Yes, Mat. Ah, yeah, I want out. I want out of what? Of new Raman Reddy? No. Out of what? Out of suffering, yes. So all of these things are correct answers. Very good. Everyone gets 100%. These are things that, we should think about this. You know, Krishna is saying, these persons are very dear to me. Why do we want to be dear to them? Now, Krishna has a quality. He has a quality that is, you could say, some will say, this is the supreme quality. And that quality is bhakta-vatsala. When someone is dear to him, so when he's saying, these are the people who are dear to me. Now, what does Krishna do with those who are dear to him? He provides everything for them. He thinks, as it says, I am in them and they are in me. What does that mean? To be in Krishna and for Krishna to be in us. If we think about that, what does that mean? Huh?
Love,
yeah, there's love. It means that there is no other thought ever entering our consciousness. Right now, my consciousness is all over. What am I going to do after class? I have to cut a tree down. I got to do this. But when it's love, when there's a lot of love and affection, that's when this relationship really starts to blossom. And Krishna's natural characteristic is this bhakta vatsala. For those who are dear to him, and what is, we can break down that word. Bhakta, of course, is with devotion. But vatsala. Look, Mother Yasoda used to call her son Krishna, oh, my vatsa, my little vatsa, my little calf. If you ever seen like cows with newborn calves, they're practically licking them up, almost gobbling them up. They're just licking them, and there's just so much of natural affection. So much so that as soon as they see them, the milk begins to flow from their udder. You know, you can't milk a cow without the calf being around, at least a nice milking of a cow. So as soon as the calf is around, then the milk begins to flow, and there's so much affection, and it's never forgotten. The mother is always affectionate to the child. So when we become in that category of a bhakta vatsal, that are we a bhakta, and does Krishna care for, we can see so much reciprocation has already happened in our lives. That for us to even be sitting here on a Saturday in a nice breeze, you know, to be able to see the forms of Radha and Krishna and Krishna Balaram and Sri Sri Gaurini Thai, how fortunate we are. I always like to bring something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This quality of becoming Bhakta Vatsala is also a key to our surrender process. And this is from the section of Saranagati. It's called Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasha Palana. That this is one of the six angas of surrender. And he calls this Vishvasha Palana. This certainly, there's absolute certainty that Krishna will protect us. As Prabhupada said in the purport today, one should depend solely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be freed from material desires. So how do we get to there? Because what is that prime element that doesn't allow us to do that? It's the fear, the bhaya. We're fearful, you know, yes, I'll surrender to Krishna, but who is going to take care of me? I got bills, I got this, I have that. Who's going to feed me? We have this fear. And so how do we get? So Bhaktivinoda is giving us some instruction. And much of Saranagati is playing off of Yamunacharya Stotaratna, which is a compilation of these wonderful prayers by Yamunacharya in this mood of surrender. And I'm not going to read this whole song, but he says, Sadhu Sudha Siddha Kama, you, Krishna, you're already eternally pure. And all of your Siddha Kama, you have all capacity for your desires. Bhakta Vatsala Nama, your name is Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Janera Nitya Swami, your name is Bhakta Vatsala, for you're eternally affectionate. You are the eternal affectionate Lord of your devotees. And as Yamunacharya says, Swami na chiratam ashrita vatsa labdha. He uses the same word, the vatsa, this affection, like a mother cow to a calf. It's natural. Swami, you especially love those who take you as their Swami, as their Lord and their Master. You're especially favorable. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate. He's a lawyer of sorts, a judge. So he's weighing things. This is your name, Bhakta Vatsala. You are naturally affectionate to your devotee. What do you think he's going to say next? I am your devotee. Please show me that affection. To me, to rakibe jare. Ketare marite pare sakala vidura vidu tumi. If you wish to protect someone, who can possibly slay them? You are the law of all laws. Tomara charane nata. Oh, you are my Lord. Koriyache panipata bhaktivinoda tavadas. I'm humbly bowing down submissively your feet, O Lord. Then the Vipada Hoite Swami, he's using the same words of Yamunacharya. Vipada Hoite Swami Avashya Tare Tumi Rakshibe Tarara Vishvas. He cherishes the faith. I really like this translation. He cherishes the faith that Krishna will protect. That's the Vishvasha Palana. He has absolute faith, and not only he is cherishing it. If you ever see a child, small child, or a small calf, or a small kitten, or a small puppy, when they get afraid, they run to their mother immediately, and they bury, you know, with little kids, they'll bury their heads in the legs, and you know, they'll have firm faith that whatever scary situation is there, this person will protect me. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to get us, or at least he's praying for himself, but he's teaching us. This is the mood that we must have, we must develop, we must cultivate. How can we get that rakshibe taharari vishvas, to get that firm faith that Krishna will protect us? Oh, Master, you will surely protect. And then his very next song, you can just imagine, his very next song, I'm not going to read it all, but He's thinking about the same, the vatsa, the cows in Vrindavan. And he's thinking how dependent on Krishna they were. Surrendering my soul to you, you have lifted me from the burden of false pride. I no longer will try to provide for my own safety. I know that you will give protection for your treasured possessions. Bhakta vatsa, the bhakta sees themselves as the possessed by Krishna. They are the possessions of Krishna. So again, there's some natural psychology there. This is my bag, and anybody wants to take my bag, I'm going to hold it, because it's my bag, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't fall into bad hands or whatever, my keys of the car, my phone, whatever it is that we're attached to. Krishna is doing that with his bhakta. They are his cherished possessions. I understand the mentality. He's saying, now I understand the mentality of your treasured cows or your treasured possessions. And then he goes into pastimes. He's summarizing the pastimes of Govardhana, of how the forest fire was there. And immediately, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhava, the devotees in Vrindavan, they immediately go to Krishna. Because they have that Vishvashpalana, that, certainty that Krishna will protect us. So I am getting 5 minutes overdue for my time for questions or comments, so we can start taking those if there are any.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you for the beautiful class. And you emphasized on emotional intelligent EI. Mm-hmm. Or emotional question, there was something that not every speaker does, which is really important. And talking about the Rupa Goswami's nectar of instruction, dadati prati grinnati guhyam makhyati prachyati bhungte bhojate jayava shatvita priti lakshana. So those six loving exchanges and reciprocations, I see devotees hugging or kissing each other or trying to embrace, giving gifts, I see that all the time, or getting gifts, giving charity, getting, or breaking the bread, you like, you know, eating together, or inviting someone to a house, doing house program, or going to someone's invitation, that is okay. But guhyam, the most confidential, like, to reveal someone your heart, not talking about myself, like, I'm not able to do that.
You are not...
To reveal one's heart in confidence and to know the other's secrets. You know, because you said there is a...
Right, yeah.
Like it will be out on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Women had a curse.
But I'm sure
that
you
will not be able to keep anything to themselves. Yeah, yeah. And, you know.
But I'm sure you have someone in your life you can speak to. Like,
very few, very few.
But still you have them, right? And so how does that make you feel when you're able to?
But the Acharya said you should have at least minimum 5.
Okay. 5 is good number. But even if you have 1, hopefully hopefully we all have at least 1. And, you know, I've been taking part in a retreat every year, and something that's been added feature of this is go to Giriraj and reveal your mind to him. Go to Radhisham and because they are not just statues, they are here, they're standing here, so you can reveal your mind to them and then see what comes.
But even if like 10 devotees are watching me, I will be hesitant to speak to them directly.
Yes, we have to be very, you know, of course, we have to adjust time, place, and circumstance, but I'm sure you have some time. There's always some time, right after class, generally. Everybody's off for prasad, you come. Or you take, you know, and that was the whole thing. You know, we kind of brush off the prasadam or the gifts, but it's like, you don't give a gift in the middle of a big festival. You bring some, hey, I got something for you, come here. Here's a gift for you. You mean so much to me. I want to give you this. This is a token. But I'd really like to just sit and talk with you also when you have a chance. There is no devotee that I know that would say, no, I don't want to do that. They will say, yes, anytime. If you approach in that way, who is going to reject you? So if you have that confidence, you know, so the prasadam is kind of like the icebreaker, or the gift can be the icebreaker. But then, again, if it's somebody that you feel confident you can share in safety without it being publicized or whatever, then those are the first, the icebreaker. Hey, I would like to invite you over for prasadam, or let me go to where you are and let me bring you some gift.
But even if we don't have that level of confidence in the other person, still can we take a chance or a risk?
Well, then I think you won't be able to fully, you know, again, that's the problem with social media. Every single thought people put on, you know, it's almost like, I renounced social media about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that because it's like terrorism. It's like, any moment you could hear somebody's like, they're just putting it out there for anybody to see. And that's not Guyam. They're looking for something. Certainly they are looking for some reciprocation, but that medium isn't inherently, I guess, favorable for that, because the answer will become, and then there'll be 20 answers to that answer, and then for each of those 20, there'll be another 10 answers to each of those, and it'll just go on and on. You won't get any conclusion. But when you're sitting with somebody, you have that trust, you have that love, they're dear to you, you're dear to them, then that flow of conversation can happen, and you know, you'll always feel very uplifted at the end. Of course, you know, we all have very heavy topics in our lives that sometimes maybe there's only one person I can really reveal, you know, myself to. But we take advantage of that. Is that getting close?
I have one more question I had. Yeah. Once I was listening to his Jayapataka Maharaj, and he said, like, about cow killings. Like, if you deprive a cow of a natural death and then it won't be able to get a next birth as human, then you are sending it back to, you know, the cycle. So, about cows, because cows, like, they are so affectionate towards the calf, Vatsala. Like, they are vegetarian, pure vegetarian. Still, they don't mind licking the flesh and all those liquidy substance after childbirth.
Mm.
Because they are so full of love towards the calf.
Yeah.
But about this ahimsa, ahimsa, A1, A2, A3, A4, I don't know what kind of milks and all, like too much dairy, and some devotees have even gone vegan. So how to understand, like, if we want to love Krishna, at least we should honor his remnants as a, like, even Radharani drinks milk at night, hot milk. Prabhupada said it's good.
Yeah, we offer milk to Krishna, of course. Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
You mentioned about six, I guess,
six.
Can you please, when your class, you say you have like six rasas. I'm not sure the word that you use. So you mentioned one. Can I have the name?
Oh, processes of surrender, the six angas
of surrender.
Can I have
the name of the first
one? Yes, the first, and again, Lord Chaitanya gives them in one order, and Bhaktivinoda gives them in another order. So you can take them either way.
Yeah, but I like the one that you say that we...
First is humility, is to dainya. First is to humility. Then atma samarpanam or atma nivedanam is to surrender oneself wholly to the person of surrender, your Supreme Lord. Then, so those two are very, again, if you get the saranagati, you can get them all very detailed, but those are the first two, they're connected. Then
you say another name.
Huh?
You say another name.
Another name.
You say something about that the person feel completely surrendered to Krishna, and that's it, something like that. You say a specific name.
I'll have about to listen to the recording. I don't remember.
It was not Maniveda. No. You say another name.
Rakshishibe Krishna. Vishvasha Palana?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah, that's the firm faith that Krishna will protect us. Yes.
One. What is the name of that? Say again.
Rakshishibe Krishna Vishvasha Palana. Avasya Rakshibe.
Where I see that? Where I can find that?
In the book called Saranagati.
In Saranagati.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Okay. Any other?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Marumati.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. My question is, you were mentioning how, in the 12th chapter, Krishna first says, if you can't do this, he goes from what is the highest, and then he goes back. I guess I was wondering, why does Krishna go back? Do you have some more insight on that why does he go back? Oh, well, if not, actually, this is better. I always wonder why he did that.
Yeah, Krishna has his own way of speaking. I'm sure better scholars of Bhagavad Gita would probably have a better answer.
Well,
but he says, if you cannot take to this practice, which was text 11, work in this consciousness, giving up the results of your activities. If you can't work in that practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge, jnana. Better than knowledge, however, so, because the previous other ones were like, if you can't do this, if you can't be a full on, fully conscious, then do this, and then we get down to this one, jnana, but better than knowledge, so he's going back up again, however, is meditation, dhyana, so it's part of the yoga, and better than meditation, so now he's coming back down, better than that, is renunciation. So however we want to chart it out, we may need a whiteboard to figure this all out, but he's showing this, and then there may be a scholar of Bhagavad Gita that may have a terms for each of these that will be able to put it in sense.
Well, while you were just... talking and reading, I was thinking, maybe Krishna doesn't really care so much for jnana that he immediately kind of, after going to jnana, he says, better than jnana is dhyana, so at least maybe you can do that. Don't bother with the jnana aspect.
Yeah, and again, these 6 to 8 verses on renunciation, you could say is an answer to renunciation. We should act in all these things, and those become very dear to Krishna when we cultivate, and it's basically Sankhya Yoga. It's understanding the interactions of human interactions, matter interactions with human. It's like, when we stub our toe, that's an interaction. Do we get angry, or do we just say, "Oh boy, yeah, I'm getting older," or whatever? There's different reactions we will have to each thing that interacts to us. So these are, if we can like just. What is it? The tate nukampam. It's like, okay, this is the consciousness that basically sums up those eight verses. That whatever it is, fear, anger, people influencing me influencing people. All of this is a lack of consciousness of my service to Krishna, perhaps. And so that's what he's getting to, and that mentality is what's dear to him. Not that we've become indifferent, like, okay, the word is there, indifference. All of a sudden we have a whole indifference community of, that spirit. No, that's not what's dear to Krishna. What's dear is that we're indifferent to the things that are affecting us that normally would affect us in a material consciousness, but when we're in Krishna consciousness, they don't affect us as much. And we often I think many of us can attest to, like when we're really engaged in something, when we're, you know, building something, or when we're knitting, or when we're making a flower, the time just flies, and it's, you know, we feel that the influence of the matter, of even the time factor, kind of disappears. So there's that. Very quickly, do you have something to add? You had something to add? I saw your hand. And, you know, everyone is officially allowed to leave at 9 o'clock, so thank you.
Thank you for the class. I just was wondering in the verse where Krishna says not to depend on anyone, and I was wondering what exactly he means.
I think...
not to depend on others.
Yeah, and the anapeksha is the word indifference. So the word anapeksha means one should not be concerned with mundane people and should not depend upon them. So I think he speaks more on the Bhagavad Gita purport to that. 12, pardon. Anapeksha. Money may be offered to a devotee, but they should not struggle to acquire it. If automatically, by the grace of the Lord, money comes to him, he is not agitated. Naturally, a devotee takes, you know, so that's all he says extra in that. But it's, we have to turn our start, we have to start turning our dependence on Krishna rather than, you know, okay, I'm dependent of, you know, my job, or I'm dependent of, you know, once I get enough money, then I'll be a devotee. No, we'll be a devotee, and you also struggle. So there's, you know, and I've been in the workforce, you could say, for like 35 years or so, and I've been at UF for 25 years, and I would say that I don't have any qualification to really be there. I'm honest. I'm being honest that, you know, I didn't go to college. I was, you know, I joined Hare Krishna Movement when I was 17, 18, right out of high school. I didn't hit, you know, if you look at my Social Security returns, 0000 for like 13 years of my younger life, no work. And so then all of a sudden I had to go into workforce. So, okay, I'll do what I can. I knew how to type. And so, somehow or other, though, Krishna is, I'm seeing it now in retrospect. Of course, when I was in it, I was thinking, I gotta work, I have a young family now, I have to support and maintain them, I have to do it. But alongside with that, I was still, my practice of devotion was, you know, of course, I was trying and still learning in that as well, but doing devotional service, engaging in the processes under the guidance of the spiritual, under Srila Prabhupada's direction. But then I saw, okay, I keep getting promoted. I don't see that as my quality. That's Krishna's. So when we recognize that in our life, especially, you know, many of us are getting older, we recognize those things. Oh, that was Krishna. That wasn't me. And then the more we feel like that, then we can say, okay, well, maybe I can be a little more renounced even now. And because Krishna will supply, Krishna will support. I don't know if that got to your...
It does, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will end here. We are over time. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.